Welcome to Scream Therapy. I'm your host, Jason Schurz. In October of 2018, I found myself in the hospital, sitting across from a psychiatrist who was telling me I had bipolar. I was sent home with a bunch of medication and laid on the couch for a week. I had my iTunes library on shuffle, trying to shake the hornet's nest from my head. Ever since I was a kid, I've been using loud music as a form of therapy. Punk rock and mental health have always been connected. This podcast looks at that connection through the lens of different guests. This is Scream Therapy. Isolation is one of the most challenging aspects of living with a mental health condition. Brandon Schipetti, lead singer of the metalcore band Bleeding Through, hid his bipolar diagnosis from his band for years. The secrecy, along with his deteriorating mental health, threatened his livelihood and one of the things that he loved the most, being in a band. When he finally told the other members what he was going through, they rallied for him. The band took a break in 2014 and Brandon focused on opening his gym, Rise Above Fitness. It wasn't long before he realized how much he missed Bleeding Through. Now, music and fitness are Brandon's perfect 1-2 punch form of therapy and the ultimate key to his mental health.
My name is Brandon Schipetti. I am the singer of a band called Bleeding Through. Also own a gym down in Huntington Beach, California called Rise Above Fitness. Also do a whole bunch of other things within the music community as well. But this has been a lifelong passion of mine, music, from the early days of watching Headbangers Ball and just kind of dreaming that I would be like one of those people and then be on Headbangers Ball myself eventually, like in my career a couple of times. It was just surreal. I've been trying to play music since I was about 12. I've always been into punk rock, hardcore, metal. That was always the thing that spoke to me. Also, though, I was really into like hip hop as a little kid, just because I felt like it spoke to me as well. It's kind of why I liked punk rock and hardcore. Hardcore was like very strong beliefs and statements, but wrapped in a little bit of like a harder exterior than punk. So I gravitated to that a little bit more. Hardcore was like my number one thing because it was like metal and punk rock put together with like a vibe, and that was like totally what I was all about. My upbringing, like I came from like that scene when I was like a young kid. I mainly went to punk rock shows and hardcore shows. Underground metal, I didn't really know much about then. It was just like the big bands like Slayer and Pantera, which I would go see as well, but that was like more concerts. But yeah, I've been doing my band for 25 years now. I've had some other bands like before in the way, but this has been my calling card, my passion for my life. I consider this band my life's work. This is the thing that I'm most known for, and that makes me very proud. There's a lot of hard work and heartbreak, and there's victories and there's defeats on an hourly basis in the music industry. And it's just something where you just have to keep moving forward and have belief in yourself and belief that things are going to be good. Through my journey, man, mental health has been something that before in the early days, it was more of a, I hid it. You know, I hid it from my band. I hid it from the world. It was something that I battled alone with, which is kind of like the worst thing to do if you're bipolar, really. But I didn't really want to use it as a crutch for my band. When I was having bad days, I would just tell my band I was just having bad days. that didn't know what was really going on with me. And I just didn't really feel like sharing it. I almost tried to pretend it just wasn't really a big deal. And it wasn't really having a part in my life. I felt like I kind of almost like cured myself of it for so long, just dictating so much of your life. And I just felt like I'm not struggling with anything mental. I can kind of just overcome this just by positive mindset and attitude. And it worked for a little bit, you know, hiding and coping and being able to kind of isolate and hide. But then I felt like I was living a secret double life for my band.
I have a hard enough time keeping it up for a garage band. I can't imagine getting through a internationally touring band and all the stuff you've done, all the albums you've put out, 25 years. So I'm wondering what your mental health was like and how you were able to cope with all that, dealing with the mood episodes and the ups and the downs. And
yeah, like not making a lot of money in the early days of Bleeding Through, not really being able to afford really anything other than paying my rent and my phone bill and putting gas in my car when I was home. That was basically it. And so like therapy was off the table. Meds were off the table. And I would just create ways to cope. It's funny. I look back and I'm like, there was a couple years where I slept all the time. That's how I cope. If I felt like I was having a rough spot, I would just go in my bunk in the bus, blackout, just sleep. And I ended up just sleeping so much. And I'm like, am I using this as an escape from like what I'm going through right now? Because I didn't do drugs. I didn't drink. I didn't self-medicate, nothing like that. So I did that. And then I said to myself, I need to do something that's a little more positive. And that's when I kind of discovered fitness. And I've always been like someone that worked out, even in high school playing sports. I worked out. I like it. I never really realized what it did for me mentally, the mental benefits, but it did a lot. But that was a way that I could escape what I was going through and get my space for my band and reflect on the day and try to get my mind where I needed to be. So I started doing that. And that's like really what I got into this fitness thing for, was to get my mind right, and which would get my body right for stage and tour. And it helped me keep myself even every day. It was my therapy. So really, that's the way I got through it. And I didn't really tell my band about this like until about like 2011 almost. So a long time. It just didn't seem like it was relevant until my personal life just started going down the toilet. And my band was kind of wondering why. We've always been like stand-up dude. Like, that's what I told them. Like, listen, like, I've been bipolar like the whole time I've been in this band. Obviously, I've been bipolar diagnosed when I was 15 years old. And it is something I hid from you guys. And I'm sorry, but I'm not saying this is an excuse for the way I've been acting, but it's part of it.
Yeah, I love that idea of excuse versus explanation, because I've used that a lot where I'm not excusing my poor behavior, my very destructive behavior in some cases, hurting myself and others, but I'm giving you an explanation of why it happened. And that can be helpful.
Just having them understand a little bit why like my mind switches and why sometimes through our history, like the band was wondering why I was in such a bad mood or very standoffish or very like short-tempered or so happy, so energetic on another level of just rage, I guess.
Rage and joy. That euphoria feeling of mania. Yeah, it's pretty wild. From my experience working with bipolar folks, like 15 is quite young to be diagnosed. I was diagnosed in my 40s, actually late 40s. So when you're younger, getting to punk rock maybe and feeling like you were different, and was there a gauge of like, were you shocked when you're diagnosed?
I mean, I went to therapy because of like depression, just general depression. And finally I went to a therapist that was like, hey, how about we just like see if you're bipolar? You know what I mean? And she even said, she's like, you're pretty young, but you're also like very mature for your age. You're not like a normal 15-year-old. Let's just see like where we're at. And so we kind of went through this stuff and, you know, it was deemed that I was. I wasn't medicated right away. I wasn't medicated until I was about 17. I just kind of used therapy as that medication. When I was 17, I got on lithium for the first time. Was on that off and on for a number of years. Pretty much stayed to that and therapy. But then when I went on tour, it was like, didn't have access to therapy, didn't have access to my meds. It was just different. So I just had to battle like, it's like cold turkey quitting something. And it's like every day I had no idea how I was going to wake up. But the thing is like I would find things like fitness that at least it was my other daily purpose. It gave me a reason to try to find balance in the day. So that really helped me like pull myself out.
When you're first getting into punk rock, do you remember that helping you as far as your moods and how are you feeling with especially the depression? Was it lifting you up? Was it keeping you too high? Like, what was the relationship between punk rock scene, going to shows, playing in bands, and the bipolar moods?
Honestly, it helped me. It took me a long time to be very outgoing in front of people. I was always good one-on-one or in a small group. this and that, but I was always kind of like, eh. Touring in the early days, I wasn't really social with a lot of people. So kind of making my way around now with people, kind of like rediscovering and rekindling friendships. I let them know that like I battled with this, and if I ever made them feel a certain way, I'm very sorry about that, but that's what I was dealing with. Didn't feel like telling the world then. The world didn't understand that then anyway. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know what would come out of that because everyone was hiding a lot of their issues. Lately, it's just more accepting to tell people that you have something going on with you. I'm old school, man. Like, I'm one of these old school people that's like a rub dirt on it, get back on the field type guy. But honestly, like, trying to do mental health alone is the worst. It's the worst thing you can do.
Going into bands and playing in the punk scene, did that?
It gave me a sense of community. The fact that I would go see shows that were small shows where I was like 5 feet away from the band, it made it very flesh and blood, made it very like normal for me. It also gave me like a little bit of a glimmer of like, I can do this too. These are normal people. I'm sure they maybe deal with some stuff as that as well. Like, so maybe I could do this too, and this could be my therapy. And it ended up turning into my therapy. Like, my playing music and getting in bands and actually being active in bands and learning how to be a better musician and learning about camaraderie, learning about how to push yourself and push your band out there, learning about how to put yourself in the world and take criticism really helped all of my mental struggles. Yeah, it didn't always help. It helped. It didn't always help, though. I mean, a lot of times I was in a state of mind where I just couldn't even deal with it. But most of the time, it really helped me, like, sort of monitor myself and catch myself on things a little bit.
There was a lyric that stood out to me in one of the songs about the idea of holding this pain that you've got and the secrecy around the bipolar and the mental health, and also hoping that because of the behavior that you've got, that people aren't going to just be like, forget this guy. And the lyric is, I know that life is pain. Don't ever give up on me.
Yeah.
Especially for me, because, you know, like, I was afraid that people were going to see me as being this person that had all these negative character traits, but didn't know the real me inside and who I actually was and that I was a good person. So I'm wondering how that time was for you, like you said, being isolated.
With those lyrics, I'll even like expand the lyrics before that. It says like, this self-hatred is the end of days. I know that life is pain. Don't ever give up on me. That is really like about the special people that have been in my life, the bandmates that have been in my life that have been behind me. I was very self-destructive. My self-esteem was, I had this self-hatred. I felt like I was just like this hopeless person wandering through life, and I felt alone even though I had my band with me all the time. Everybody struggles with something, whether it's mental or not. Everybody has a little bit of pain in their life. And so that's what that means. It's like, we're not alone. I know I'm not alone, so please don't give up on me.
Yeah.
That's not really about me personally. It's more just like, that's everybody chanting that to the world that might struggle with this, like, mental health. And the first statement, this self-hatred is in today's, I know life is pain. That's me saying that to everybody else that is struggling through this and that wants to scream, just don't give up on me. Because a lot of people do get given up on. It is something that is, you have to have a lot of patience for. My band has patience for that still. And they never gave up on me, and I'll never give up on them. That line right there, when I heard that song come together, like when it was fully mixed and it was out there, like that line, like, made me cry.
It's a good hardcore chant.
Yeah.
Being in the fitness world and owning your own gym, having your own business, that discovery of the relationship between the mind and the body and how exercise and the moving of the body can really help the mind and mental health struggles. Can you expand on that? Because I think a lot of people, they know that that's a thing, but maybe don't really understand the gravity of it.
Let's just put it in terms of like meditation. A big thing to help with mental disabilities, meditation. I am one of the people that needs to. I just don't take that time to do that for myself. So I have transferred that type of time for yourself to be in the gym. And I always feel like, if you make positive strides every day for yourself, anything, it could be like, today I worked out. I did something for myself. Today I got a haircut. Today,
play guitar in the basement.
Today I grabbed my guitar. Today I made breakfast. Today I took my dog on a walk. If you have those things that you are doing for yourself, it is cleansing for the mind. It also helps you breathe and reflect and try to put things in categories of what is good, what is bad right now. Like, what am I so bummed on? And then start thinking about the good things in your life and that you're doing good for yourself. I think a lot of times people feel very paralyzed by their mental issues or they don't do anything for themselves. Self-care goes down. When I see friends that like, okay, man, like it looks like you haven't showered in like 3 days. Like, are you all right?
Yeah.
Just things like that. Trying to build a consistent schedule for yourself is probably the best thing, especially being bipolar. Trying to at least have things out there where you're, even if you're having a depressed day, you can do things on the positive to where the next day, if you turn and you're back to just being more balanced, you can't say to yourself, that ruined my day or that made that day unsuccessful for me or I didn't accomplish anything. I'm always about moving a step forward. So I think that doing things for yourself during the day, that is the key. Meditation, walk for 10 minutes, walk down your street, walk back, breathe. Just take in the surroundings. Focus on other things. Focus on a tree. Focus on anything. Just try to put your mind somewhere else. And that's what I do when I work out. And working out is that.
I love the word turn. I've never really thought about that before. I know that my moods shift. I know that, you know, I'm always on this cycle. And I'm well aware of that and how that works. But the word turn is interesting because that's one thing that people maybe don't understand about bipolar is the sense that you can wake up in the morning and be super depressed, even suicidal. And maybe later in the day or the next day, you could shift like that and you're up and you're kind of excited. And that idea of turning and things in your life make you shift, or is it all kind of cyclical inside of you?
Combination of both. I find that a lot of people that deal with mental unbalance or instability or depression, bipolar or whatever, a lot of times when you're stuck in like a down depressed thing, especially when you're bipolar, you feel stuck, but you're not. Give yourself that opportunity to break out of that and say it's okay, even though I've started this day, it's not too late to pull yourself out of it. It isn't. It's not too late. But I think a lot of people think like, oh, I'm just stuck in this, I just gotta wait. You don't need to wait. You can try. At least put that effort forth. And then if you're putting effort forth to try to switch around or turn or whatever, and if it's not working, then deal with it then. But always give yourself that time to pull yourself out of that mental state. Even if being bipolar, it feels like you're absolutely hopeless, but you can pull out. And in my job, it's like sometimes I come here in the morning and I'm just down in the dumps, but I'm just like, dude, I will pull myself out of this. You know what I mean? And you just got to give yourself that chance to find balance for yourself.
Yeah, it's like a real PMA, bad brains concept, right?
It is, and it's hard because everybody has responsibilities and everybody has bad days and good days. People have days that switch every 30 minutes, bad day, good day, bad things happen, good things happen. So knowing that, try to keep yourself centered.
It reminds me of this graphic I have on my fridge that has a little guy that's looking at all this negative stuff over here and the thing saying, look, brain, look over here, and all the good stuff's on that side, but the brain's just focused on all the negative.
100%.
So what was your mental health like when the band took a break in 2014? I know that it was probably a really tough time, but I'm wondering how that affected your mental health.
I was pretty good at first because I was very immersed in starting my gym business. I was doing that for a couple of years when we took a break, and then I could dive back into that. And I think I needed that break from the band. I mean, being in a band is very tough because you're putting yourself out there for criticism. You're putting things out there that you know that some people are going to hate. And you have to be able to deal with it. But I was at a point where I just wasn't dealing with things good. So I kind of needed that break mentally. And I was pretty good for a while. But then eventually I realized there's something missing in me and I need this. Whether it's going to play a bigger toll on my mental health, I'm good. I'm strong enough and I can get through this. But I need this band for my mental health. I need to do this until I die. Now, if I don't do something for a month with this band, I get really grumpy. I get in a weird state of mind. This band is everything. It's my therapy. It's the other side of lifting weights, music. I welcome putting my passion of this music into the world.
Getting back together, then how did that affect you? Did you feel a lift right away, or was it get back into it the way it was before? Or?
Creating music again was very therapeutic. Talking with members of the band, and they were fully on board. Being in the band now is like a revelation. I am so grateful for our fans. I'm so grateful for us. I'm so grateful for all of it. And that is something where, as a band, we're so strong and we're bulletproof now.
Sounds also like being more unstable early in the band and having those problems that you were struggling with that affected your mindset on how you felt about outside opinions or even just doing the band itself.
Yeah.
Do you remember where you were at when you felt like maybe the band couldn't continue because of the behaviors that you're exhibiting and maybe that you'd have to just walk away from it?
Around 2011, 12, I'm not caring about it like I was. I was very unstable. My personal life was kind of falling apart at that time too. So I felt like that was the thing that needed to be put on ice. I felt very alone. It just felt like it didn't matter at that moment to me. And that was just false. We were riding the waves of the band and I was just riding the waves of my issues. And I just felt like that time was a break that was needed for all of us, to be honest.
Must feel really good to be in the place that you're at now.
Yeah, dude. Honestly, it's the best.
As far as your future goes with not only your personal life, but with the band, it's something that you said is so important to you. And how do you want to move forward with that?
I mean, with Bleeding Through, like, we're doing what we do. We're at a position now, we put the work in for so long that we're at a point right now where, like, we play like 20 plus shows a year. We do the best job we can at doing as much as we can with our time we're allowed, because everybody in this band has like full-time other things going on. But we're at a point that I'm okay with saying we deserve where we're at. We laid a blueprint out for bands after us. We didn't have a blueprint to follow. Like, we laid that blueprint out and we'll continue to put out music. We're a better live band than we've ever been, ever. We enjoy each other more because we probably play less shows together, but we love each other so much. Like, the relationship our band has is incredible, by the way. We are all about each other. We feed off each other. We take inspiration off of each other. And I felt like at the time when we took a break, we just weren't. And now, especially now, that's the thing that we really focus on. Nothing can hurt us. Like, we're going to play shows that we want to play. Every show is important and a good time.
Does sound like things are very volatile in the past with your mood episodes and cycles. What do your mood cycles look like now?
I'm pretty balanced. I'm unmedicated, so I just feel like the medication I was on for a while just wasn't doing the trick. Now I just use working out as my meditation. I do things like go on like little walks for like 10 minutes just to focus on something else. I know how to switch if I'm in a bad state. And it's like, not even depression is not even the worst state. When you're in a hypermania, that is overwhelming sometimes.
Totally.
I'm very transparent. Even with my clients at the gym and stuff, they know. They all have my back. I have their back. You know, everyone deals with everything. I listen to them. They listen to me. It's like therapy. And moving forth, I have a greater appreciation for what I do now. Like, I love to serve people. I love to be at service of getting people in shape and really trying to introduce something positive in their life, just the same way that Bleeding Through does. I just want the experience of Bleeding Through for people to be a positive experience as well. That's my state of mind. But it's all about focusing on the positive things and not the negatives. Like, I own a few businesses. There's lots of negative every day. And you just can't focus on that, because one negative will cloud 10 positives.
That's the best kind of advocacy, I think, just being open about it and talking to people. And we're not talking about necessarily being on a poster. We're talking about people you work with, people in your band. Just talking about it, but also supporting each other. And I think that's maybe one of the things about mental health advocacy, quote unquote, is that it's easy to throw something on a poster, but it's actually really hard to be transparent, to be open, to talk with folks and also to listen to them. And that sounds like you're doing a good job of that.
Yeah. I think a good way to kind of like practice mental patience is listening to what other people have going on, not feeling like you're alone on this island. Just know that like a lot of people are going through a lot of similar stuff, and everybody has hard times going on. You're not alone in that.
Life, all that is straight to you. It is straight to you. It is straight to you.
was my conversation with Brandon Schipetti of Bleeding Through, bleedingthroughofficial.com. For more episodes of Screen Therapy, go to screentherapyhq.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. Big news, the Screen Therapy book is available now. Screen Therapy, A Punk Journey Through Mental Health, tells my story and the stories of others who use punk as a catalyst for mental health. Like this podcast, it links the community-minded punk scene with the mental wellness of the punks who belong to it. To order the book, go to screentherapyhq.com. For merch, check out Screen Therapy on TeePublic. Okay, enough promoting, it's time for some thanking. Thank you for listening to Screen Therapy. Doing this podcast and talking to folks about punk rock and mental health has been a crucial part of my own mental stability, and it means so much to me that you're out there listening. Screen Therapy is created in the Cathet region of coastal British Columbia, Canada, on the traditional territory of the Klahaman Nation. Contact me at screentherapyhq.com or email me at screentherapypodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Let's talk about punk rock and mental health. Until next time, take care and be well.